cannot play with them, cannot win with them, cannot coach with them, can't do it.
Yeah, come on. Come on.
Dropping stats over beats.
It's the Fantasy Freestyle.
Always coming with the heat.
Yo, it's the Fantasy Freestyle.
We got strong takes and tips.
It's the Fantasy Freestyle.
You win championships
at the Fantasy Freestyle.
Dropping stats over beats.
It's the Fantasy Freestyle.
Always coming with the heat.
It's the Fantasy Freestyle.
We got strong takes and tips
at the Fantasy Freestyle.
You win championships
with that Fantasy Freestyle.
You know what it is, rocks and speeds in the place to be. Fantasy Freestyle coming at you. We are ready for week one, rocks and speeds. We are going to put it down for you, letting y'all know who to start, who to sit, who to draft, who to buy, so you can win your league and win that cash. Say what's up to the people, rocks.
Yo, what's up, everybody? We got that DFS for
show,
you.
For sure.
We got those game flow geniuses.
Yeah.
We got those diamonds. And just for all y'all who have them kind of suspect instincts, we're going to point out a couple of fugazis.
Forget about it. Yo, Rock, the time is here. We've been holding down the Fantasy Freestyle Fanatics all summer with that baseball, but we're cutting that out right now. We're going hardcore football. We're going to talk about our headlines. Yo, there's a lot of things that happen after the fourth preseason game with cut down day and trades, people moving around. The quarterbacks were moving. This Sam Bradford trade out of nowhere. First of all, Sam Bradford yields you a first and a fourth round pick?
Yo, Philly pulled that one out of the crack in the Liberty Bell.
I'm saying,
I didn't
for
know
real.
About all that, man.
Yo, they knew they were desperate. It was obviously a desperate move. The Minnesota Vikings were targeted for this year for a long time. You know, this is a win-now team with Adrian Peterson getting up there in age, moving into a new stadium. They had their quarterback on the rise with a nice, young, growing defense, and then came crashing down with that gruesome injury. But now, I actually think this is a better position for Sam Bradford. I think he has better weapons this time around in this setting, and he can always just turn off and hand left, turn around, hand right, pitch right. Come on.
Speeds, I mean, I don't disagree with you. I don't necessarily think that he has better weapons per se. He definitely has a better running back. I think, though, the biggest issue here for Sam Bradford, and if you're a Sam Bradford owner, he's probably not going to lose his job halfway through the season.
Right, you can count on
pretty
him for
clear
the full
to happen.
Season. Right, like you thought Wentz might have taken Wentz, over. There was even a threat from Chase Daniel. But in this situation, they're making the move for Sammy B to be the guy and at least hold him down. He has 2 years left on his deal. And there's now whispers that they don't know if Teddy Bridgewater will be ready for 2017. So maybe this is just the perfect stop. You're right. No one looking over his shoulder. And in a system that he's familiar with Norv Turner as the offensive coordinator, Rocks. But it's still some kind of crazy, like they say, like learning a new language, you know. But Rocks, let's see, what does that mean on the other side for the Philadelphia Eagles side? Is this them saying that they're not trying to win? They're counting this as a building year? I mean, this kid Carson Wentz is coming out of Division II. I do think he's going to have that a little bit of that mobility that you see out of someone like Alex Smith or even Ryan Fitzpatrick, which may be surprising and help out some fantasy teams. But if he's not ready, what, do you downgrade guys like Jordan Matthews or think like he'll still go over the middle and Zach Ertz is okay? How do you think it affects the rest of the Eagles' weapons?
To me, it seems like a disaster waiting to happen. I mean, not only is it not a positive thing for any of those guys you just mentioned, I think it's just absolutely terrible for his development and just makes me question, like, what they're really thinking. You know, props for getting rid of Sam Bradford. You know, I'm a big fan of addition by subtraction.
Yeah. You've never been a fan of Sammy B.
Got a lot back for him, though, but
they did. They got a ton
for this year is to throw some kid with some crack ribs who's taken 38 snaps above the Division II level.
That's the way it is in the NFL these days, Rocks. You know, sometimes they throw him to the wolves. They expect things out of him. Russell Wilson spoiled everybody. Big Ben spoiled everybody. They used to say that a rookie could not come in, but these two guys did it and went to the Super Bowl. They now expect that. They expect the same out of Dak Prescott in Dallas. Yo, people think that Dak Prescott is just going to be able to step right in and lead the Cowboys to the playoffs as a rookie with a rookie running back trying to pick up blitzes coming their way. These things don't really happen. I agree with you. Carson Wentz and the Eagles, probably fugazi. Dak Prescott and the Cowboys, probably fugazi.
That's a fugazi. How do you know it's a fugazi? You looked at it for 2 seconds.
What is a fake?
Yeah, I know what a fugazi is.
Rocks and speeds here on the Fantasy Freestyle. We're going to be giving it to you so you can win your league and win that cash. We're going to get into the football. It is week one. We're going to get into the football for real. Talk about all these games. Talk about what you may want to see. Talk about who may be the good DFS value. Talk about who we like in these games. We're going to get it at you because it is week one. I know Rocks is ready for some football. Speeds is ready for some football. Let's get into it when we get back.
I would rather play with 10 people and just get penalized all the way until we got to do something else, rather than play with 11 when I know that right now that person is not sold out to be a part of this team. I want winners. I want people that want to win. I cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it.
Yeah, yeah, Fantasy Freestyle. We back in the building after the break. You know what it is, Rocks and Speeds. What we're going to do right now is we're going to try and go game by game, get as many games as we can, talk a little bit about some things we haven't talked about yet, and, you know, tell you what we're interested in, tell you what we could see coming in that game, and tell you maybe some values out there, yo. One game, Rocks, I want to talk about is this Tampa Bay Atlanta game. We're really looking for big things out of Jameis Winston this year. I know we both like Jameis Winston. We both like Mike Evans in this game, huh?
Yeah, I mean, again, I talked about it last week. I talked about it the week before. I talked about it earlier in the offseason. I really like everything that I've heard out of Jameis Winston, but so many times you hear these puff pieces for guys when the games don't matter. I really think that Jameis has not only talent, but the character, and it pains me to say this, but the character to persevere through a career in the NFL. I think the no-huddle offense is going to be a godsend for him, being able to take command of men who want to follow his lead. You mentioned Tampa Bay, you know, they're a pretty decent team on offense, and I am not afraid at all of the Atlanta secondary. You know, they tried to do a little bit more of the pass rush this year. You know, guilty until proven innocent as far as I'm concerned, and I really think that Jameis has a chance to be a top 10 quarterback this week, substantially higher than they've got him ranked.
I like that, Ross. I like that pick. I like that play. A few things on this. Yo, I don't know if you saw the Florida State Ole Miss game on Monday, but number 4 Florida State was down by over 3 touchdowns, and it was Jameis Winston who went into the locker room and gave the halftime speech, inspired Florida State to reel off 24 unanswered points and win that game at his alma mater. This is a leader of men. You can catch the video of that halftime speech on a new Showtime show. Yo, I like what you're talking about in the dirt cutter offense. They wanted him to stay because he wants to be able to run that 2-minute drill and that no huddle offense. We like Mike Evans there as well. I agree with you. I expect the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to take a step this year and finish second in that division. And it starts by them being able to go on the road and beat the Atlanta Falcons. I don't know. Is Mohamed Sanu the number 2 wide receiver for Atlanta? Like, who do they really have? Matty Ice couldn't lose in the Dome. I think he's going to lose a bunch this year in the Dome.
Yeah, I mean, this is really a guy, and I hate the idea of swagger and confidence and kind of predicting games. He is someone who just looks shook as hell to me. God bless Julio Jones. He's honestly kept Matt Ryan in the NFL after his season last year, as far as I'm concerned. Julio gave us a scare in the preseason with the ankle. I think he's going to be fine. He's my number 1 overall wide receiver play this week. And if you know anything about how Rocks and Speeds get down, that means he's the number 1 overall PPR
player. He's going to get a lot of targets.
This is a defense that he has absolutely shredded over the last 2 years, and probably going back even further. And you look at Mohamed Sanu, as you mentioned, I don't see him being the threat. I mean, and Julio's someone who can do it double team, triple team. As long as Matty Ice can even get the ball anywhere near him, Julio is the premier athlete at the position, except for maybe ODB. I think he's going to absolutely feast this week, and he's someone I would actually pony up a couple extra bucks for in DFS.
Going against a rookie, I think, in Hargraves there, that Tampa Bay drafted, like, you know, number 9 or 10 overall. Yo, another game I'm actually kind of interested in is this Minnesota Vikings-Tennessee game. Yo, we talked about Sam Bradford. Maybe he'll have the playbook digested. Maybe he won't. If not, it'll be a backup. But I'm interested. One point I want to make on this game, Rox, the Tennessee Titans defense is the cheapest option on DFS this week, okay?
And shout to them setting those prices back early.
They didn't know that they were going to be facing either a backup quarterback or a quarterback that has yet to fully digest the playbook. So I think that's a sneaky play on DFS. Rox, you've been talking about this exotic smash mouth for a while. How do you think they fare against what is a good Minnesota defense in their debut in regular season week one?
I mean, it's going to be really interesting to see because, again, this is where you hear those preseason narratives come to meet the cold, hard reality of the NFL regular season.
Right.
I just really like exotic smash mouths because I feel like it's the first time that an offense has been named with hopes of a hashtag in mind. And
hashtag
I gotta say,
exotic smash mouth.
Yeah, hashtag exotic smash mouth at fantasy freestyle. Leave off the last E because we're not making any of those errors this season. I mean, as much as I laughed at it, I gotta say, both DeMarco Murray and Henry have looked extremely good in the preseason.
Yeah.
I still think Henry is gonna usurp him, but
eventually,
it'll be really
down the
interesting,
road.
It'll be an interesting test, though, to see how those two backs, they can keep them fresh and rotate them, how they extremely stout Minnesota front seven. I also want to see Mariota. We've got that guy Sharp coming in. We got Rishard Matthews coming in. You know, you've got Kendall Wright fading to the background. I think Delanie Walker remains the de facto number one. I just want to see how they're split up. And again, in an offense like that, it's going to be run first. You need a quarterback who's able to be efficient and not make mistakes. And I think that that's something Mariota can do.
No doubt. We go to another game. Yo, we got a lot of games we want to touch on that we haven't mentioned just yet. Another big game is a division matchup between the Cowboys and the Giants. The Cowboys are going to have a rookie quarterback and a rookie running back in the backfield trying to pick up the blitzes, all 7.5 fingers of JPP and all $54 million of Olivier Vernon. They're going to try to have to block. I don't know how Dak is going to look when teams are actually scheming against him as opposed to playing the base vanilla defenses of the preseason. I think that the Cowboys are going to struggle here. I think the Giants are a sneaky play on defense because I don't know if Dak is ready for regular season action.
And I mean, again, this is a task that there is literally nothing, no matter how big the stages you've been on before in your life, can prepare you for. And a division game, you know, a grudge match, Dallas against the New York football giant. Do you think you're going to see some of that read option? I mean, Zeke has had some time running it. Dak can run it. I think this is something you could not do with Tony Romo, but I wouldn't be shocked if they threw the Giants for a loop there with that and opened up some space.
I can see some read option definitely happening. Dak did that at Mississippi State. One of my boys on Sports Guru actually called that as well. Check it out, Sports Guru, the app where fans be talking about sports on video. Download it now. You can catch Rox and Speeds on it. I think there is some read option potential for Dallas. Dak is familiar with that. Something that they could try to install early on, take advantage of that offensive line, and something Zeke and Dak are both familiar with. Good call, Rox, on that.
And one other thing I would just say is that Eli last year, even though he had an overall positive season, was garbage against the Cowboys. And
they were good.
Giants,
they just collapsed at the end of the game. They didn't know how to manage the clock.
But if you look at it, though, Odell had two of his worst games of the season last year against the Cowboys. I think he was something like the wide receiver 40 and wide receiver 50 in those two games. And Dallas' secondary was pretty trash. So I'm putting that on Eli. I'm hoping the McAdoo system, maybe Sterling Shepard, you know, takes a little bit of attention away from him. And, you know, I think ODB will have a decent game. But I'm tempering my expectations on Eli until he proves the moment isn't too big for him, unless, of course, it's the playoffs or December.
Exactly. We know he can handle those moments. maybe
it's the small things.
And as Jerry Jones this week said in an effort to say don't sweat the small stuff, we can't circumcise the mosquito on that one anymore. We move on to the Cincinnati Bengals and the New York Jets. 1 point I want to make on this game, Rocks, is I am very big. If you are looking at a Cincinnati running back, I'm telling you right now, it is not going to be Jeremy Hill. It is going to be Giovanni Bernard, okay? The Jets' front seven is stout. There are not going to be many teams all year long that can run against the Sons of Anarchy, and I don't think Cincinnati is going to be able to. They are going to have to try to find success outside. That means throwing the ball. That means on off-tackle runs, not Jeremy Hill. It'll be Giovanni Bernard. So if you're on Cincinnati, because there's a lot of targets to go around with the loss of Sanu, the injury to Eifert, the loss of Marvin Jones, and I know you want to talk about AJ Green, who's probably going to get some targets, but is it Revis Island or is it more Revis Peninsula now and AJ Green can find a way off?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's kind of more like an estuary, perhaps.
Okay.
But I just want to touch upon your point about Gio a bit. I completely agree with you. He was someone who, for me, was inflow genius. He was number four. You know, we're not going to have time for that later. We're going to bring you our game flow geniuses a little bit later.
We're
going to
hit him with the diamonds in the rough and those fugazis too, Rocks.
Oh, forget about it, Famron. But the one thing I will say is that it's going to be really interesting. I think there's space in the middle of the field, especially now that Eifert is not there. I could see Gio Bernard really picking up a bunch of those short yardage dump offs from Dalton. I think that the Jets will hopefully be able to, if the scheme is the way they want, get at him a bit. And, you know, he's a good security blanket. I think he's a great play. As far as AJ Green is concerned, I think that this is going to be really, really interesting. It's one of my favorite matchups to watch. I'm also looking very closely about Antonio Brown and Josh Norman. But, you know, Revis was playing at a very, very high level until those bumps, bruises, those nicks caught up with him
last year. Of the season, though. This is as fresh as he's going to be.
Exactly. And AJ Green is a guy, though, also, who, when given targets, has always produced. He's not someone who's really historically been shut down by anyone other than Joe Hayden back when Joe Hayden was in his prime. So I think it's one of those premier matchups to watch. I think AJ Green will have a decent game. I would bump him down from that higher echelon wide receiver one into more fringy one or two. But I think he's still a must start. I'm not ponying up for him in DFS this week, though.
No doubt. No doubt. I would also be a little bit worried. Remember, he hasn't really done much since he left that preseason game with a knee injury. We'll see how he does. One wide receiver, two wide receivers that we want to talk about in this game that I know you like. This is that Packers-Jaguars game, Rocks. And I think this is going to be a week where, even on a limited snap count, we all remember how great Aaron Rodgers to Jordy Nelson is. And Jordy Nelson will begin to have himself a campaign, reestablishing himself as a top five wide receiver. I know he's on a little bit of a snap count, but unlike Kelvin Benjamin, I am not worried about Jordy Nelson, because Jordy Nelson will catch a 50-yard touchdown with one of the snaps that he's in. What do you think about Jordy Nelson being at the top, along with, I know, your boy AR-15, who you've been on all offseason? Huh, Rocks? What do you think about those two wideouts in that game putting on a show?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really, Jordy is another guy, as you said, on a snap count. I think, though, the difference with him, though, is that he is a big play threat. He's someone who can make it pop, 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 pop. And his chemistry with Aaron Rodgers is certainly solidified over the course of years, whereas I feel the brief kind of shotgun marriage between Cam Newton and Kelvin Benjamin was something that we can't necessarily count on. But I think that it is a bit disconcerting after sitting out the entire preseason, after him practicing against air, which I do all the time, you know, when I'm by myself.
Looking good, shadow boxing, doing these episodes.
I think a lot of that, honestly, though, is going to depend on how does Eddie Lacy look. And this is a team, when they're functioning well.
P90X, also, baby, P90X.
He's another person whose conditioning is apparently not exactly there. He... down your throat, and that has always opened up space in the passing game. You know, I'm really curious to see, you know, can Randall Cobb go back being that wide receiver too, or is he basically, you know, is he Fugazi forever? It's one of the more interesting games to me in the league this week. What I will say, though, is that there is no player that I am higher on than when I started the preseason than AR-15 Allen Robinson. He ends up being my overall fifth best player in season-long rankings in PPR leagues. I think he's an absolute beast, which is not saying much, but a lot of people said he can't repeat. And I entered the offseason thinking that same thing, and then I saw him against the Jets, and then I looked at the way him and Bortles had that connection, and this is a guy who is a true alpha wide receiver one who is going to hog targets. I don't care about Julius Thomas in the red zone. That's Allen Hurns' problem. Allen Robinson, he's going to be just fine.
No doubt, no doubt. Yo, in our next segments, we're going to talk a little bit more about what happens when Miami takes that longest possible road trip up to Seattle and what happens when two new quarterbacks hook up in Philly. You'll get our takes on those games when we do our Game Flow Genius and our Diamonds and our Fugazis. I got an interesting game I want to touch on over here, Rox. We talk about the Lions going to Indianapolis. This is actually my upset special of the week. I believe the Detroit Lions can go in there, and not only when you give them the 3.5 points that they're getting right now in Vegas, I think the Detroit Lions can go in there and win the game outright with Jim Bob Cooter spreading around that Jim Bob Cooter all over the place. I think both of these teams will look to be throwing the ball and will look to try to put up points, but I have no faith in that Colts offensive line, and I think the Detroit Lions defense is going to have a big turnover to flip this game. Watch for that. And Jim Bob Cooter to lead the Detroit Lions into an upset of who many people predict will be the AFC South champion Indianapolis Colts. Besides Jim Bob Cooter, what say you on this game, Rox?
I mean, honestly, I'm going to level with our listeners right now. Sometimes I think Speeds does Lion Takes just so he can say Jim Bob Cooter. And if you were listening 2 or 3 weeks ago, he basically admitted as much. He was like, I'm going to talk about the Lions this year so I can say Jim Bob Cooter.
You're absolutely right.
Jim Bob Cooter is the Lions' offensive coordinator. And the offensive coordinator of the Lions is Jim Bob Cooter.
That's right.
I don't think what you're saying is too crazy, and we've talked a little bit about how it's concerning the Indianapolis line has not really stuck together like glue. It's been more like a little bit of a scotch tape spit and maybe some bubble gum. I think they're going to be a little bit too much for Detroit to handle. I'm not totally convinced, really, that that now that there's some tape on the Jim Bob Cooter offense, that Matt Stafford is going to be the guy to execute flawlessly. That said, I think he could have a big game in something that has definite shootout potential. I'm really interested, though, in seeing, we've talked about it a lot, the T.Y. Hilton, the Dante Moncrief, and to a lesser extent,
Philip Dorsett,
Philip Dorsett. How does that shake out? They've been manufacturing touches for Dorsett. Moncrief is obviously ascendant, and T.Y. Hilton's always been money in that bank with Andrew Luck. I think the winner here, you know, take them all together, take the aggregate, take the index, just take Andrew Luck. I think it's Luck that's going to be the biggest beneficiary season long, but this will be an interesting test early in the season.
I agree with you. We'll see. If Andrew Luck can stay healthy behind that offensive line, I think he's going to put up 4,500 yards or more. And you know, you like Philip Dorsett, you know I'm very high on Dante Moncrief, have been for years.
We'll see.
We'll see if he can, in fact, outperform and outproduce T.Y. Hilton. T.Y. Hilton going right now at like wide out 15, whereas Dante Moncrief was going wide out 27, is up all the way to wide out 20 in draft board.
He's all the way up to wide out 20.
Trust me, I've been keeping my eye on the Creef. Yo, Speeds.
Yeah, man. T.Y. has got that awesome T.Y. dance. It's one of my favorite celebrations.
Yeah.
Can we say that when Moncrief scores a touchdown, he's sliding in the DMs?
Sure. It goes down in the DM, yo. It goes down in the DM. Dante Moncrief. Yeah, Moncrief. So we're going to keep an eye on that. We're going to keep an eye on that for sure. We'll see how that works out with the Jim Bob Cooter offense and the wideouts that we're tracking in Indy. Then we go to Sunday night, Rocks. And on Sunday night, I think this is going to be a very interesting game. The Arizona Cardinals are 6.5-point favorites against the Jimmy Garoppolo-led New England Patriots. And let me tell you something. I am worried about this New England offense, okay? Jimmy Garoppolo, in his last preseason action, threw more passes behind the line of scrimmage than he threw 10 yards down the field. Patrick Peterson, I think, can lock up Julian Edelman. I am down, and I think the Patriots might lay an egg when they go on the road to the Arizona Cardinals, a place where it's going to be hyped up, and I think David Johnson is going to prove his worth as a top three fantasy back by going all over this New England defense. I like David Johnson big time in this game. I am not concerned. I think the weapons from New England are going to have a bad game, but I know you might want to talk about that Cardinals offense and how it works out with the different wideouts. I know you've been thinking that this is Michael Floyd's time to shine.
Yeah, Speeds, I gotta say, like, everything you just said to me is astute analysis, and I don't necessarily disagree with, but I'm just, like, I'm sitting there bobbing my head, and I kind of got that Fetty Wap, and I'm just hearing, it's a trap game!
We'll see.
I mean, you really want, I don't know, Carson Palmer has looked garbage against a Belichick-led team that you know has been scheming on this since the schedule came out.
But he doesn't have the pieces anymore. Chandler Jones is on the other side. Rob Ninkovich is hurt and suspended for PEDs. You know, they are not the team they once were. I believe they're on the decline, and this is going to show.
I'll just go back to what I said. Everything you say makes sense, but you know, my brain says no, but my heart says it's a trap game.
We'll see.
I do think though, it's going to be really interesting to see. The biggest thing I like, you know, when kind of handicapping this game in my mind is the way that David Johnson gets a lot of touches. If the Cardinals are behind, David Johnson gets a lot of touches, and if you're in a PPR league, that's even better. I think he's easily someone you can see pushing 20 touches every single week. Week winning upside, and I feel very, very good about him in a way that, you know, he really crystallized for me on the RB1 position in a way that I kind of vacillated earlier in the season. I think Jimmy G is going to be interesting to watch. I mean, I'd be curious. I mean, if Peterson is able to lock down Edelman, I still think you'll see Gronk and James White in the middle of the field. I think he's been in the system long enough to take what he can get. And I would just say what I would do is pump the brakes on Chris Hogan. I would pump the brakes on Martellus Bennett. I would take a wait-and-see approach with them until week three when the Pat schedule clears up a bit. But I got to say, you heard it here first. It's a trap game.
Yes, Rock showing you his vocal skills in more ways than one. You know, one of the things I really like best about Week 1, Rocks, is that there's not one but two Monday night games. That first one is going to be Pittsburgh and Washington. Interesting to see that as we find out if Josh Norman was a product of the scheme or is, in fact, a shutdown corner, his first test is against Antonio Brown. I think the Pittsburgh team is going to go into Washington and win because they are that good and they are elite. And we've seen D'Angelo Williams fill in admirably for Le'Veon Bell before. D'Angelo Williams is moderately priced on DFS, was going to get a ton of touches, and you know about, obviously, Antonio Brown and Big Ben. I'm interested to see what Eli Rogers does as a kind of hyped up third receiver slot guy, and also what tight end Jesse James does, you know, replacing Heath Miller and obviously Ladarius Green, who is still in the dark, quiet room. I'm looking at Eli Rogers and Jesse James, one of them to maybe have a breakout and be really good value in some kind of DFS tournaments. What do you think about the Pittsburgh side?
You know, Marcus Wheaton failed to seize much of anything other than a general shrug from his collective public last year when given an opportunity. Marcus Wheaton. Sammy Coates, you know, the hype giveth, the hype taketh away. We talked about Eli Rogers early on that. Shout your boy Rocks. One thing that I am really curious about, though, is Washington's passing game. Pittsburgh has been garbage against the pass. They're a little bit better up front. You know, I think Matt Jones is someone who's probably going to be in more of a committee this week than he will be rest of the season. But I'm pretty high on DeSean Jackson. To me, this feels like a DeSean Jackson game. He was in the running for my diamond this week. Not too many catches, 5 or 6 catches, but he's going to have a long touchdown, a couple other chunk games, and I think you could easily see him with something like 5, 110 and a TUD. One of them TUDs being one of those long highlight reel touchdowns. You just hope he holds on to the ball until he crosses the goal line.
You know, the thing with DeSean Jackson, absolutely, he might give up the ball before he actually scores. The other thing is, you know, DeSean Jackson is going to have a couple of big play games. You just don't know when it's going to be, but that's what Rocks and Speeds are here for. Rocks calling his shot right now, telling you DeSean Jackson is something of a diamond in the rough and that he's going to go big against that Pittsburgh secondary. Last game we got here, Rocks, is the 49ers hosting the newly minted Los Angeles Rams in a division matchup where there's Todd Gurley and not much else. But I remind you of this. I remind you last year in the second half Monday Night Football game, the 49ers looked the best they did all season. Carlos Hyde looked dominant, hit the B button in the opener last year. I don't know if that's going to happen again. Case Keenum starting for the Rams. The over-under on this game is poor. I don't think there's much production outside of Todd Gurley and maybe tight end Vance McDonald that we've been talking about all offseason. What say you on the Fantasy Freestyle about this? Could be a clunker, huh, Rock?
The league is really testing how addicted to people football are.
Yeah, they should put like Seattle hosting in this spot, right?
Come
or Arizona
on,
hosting in this spot.
I mean,
this is where Cardinals Patriots should be.
This is not a playoff preview. I mean, I understand West Coast and all, but you know, we East Coast for life, riding on them. You know, no disrespect to Pop, but we big for life. I expect to see a lot of running plays. I think there's going to be a lot of running the ball. Honestly, I think this is one of the better game scripts for Carlos Hyde because I don't think LA is going to be able to jump out too far ahead. And that's going to be a weekly concern against San Francisco where everybody either retired, went to jail, or got cut. I agree with you completely. Vance McDonald is probably the best play in this one. He's only $4,700 on the FanDuel. I love him as a tight end in any format. You can put pump money other places. Gabbert has shown an inability to connect with anyone else. It's like he went to high school with Vance McDonald and they went to college together and they're just hanging out together, you know, at the food court. He's not even looking at anyone else, fam. Gurley's gonna run wild. I can't imagine they want to put this game in Case Keenum's hands. I like Gurley to lead all running backs in touches this week. I think he's gonna beast. I'm looking at about 150 total yards and a touchdown. That plays in any DFS format.
No doubt. Yo, there you have it. Me and Rox putting it down. Rox and Speech showing you what we think about a lot of the games so far in week one. When we come back, we're going to give you a couple special flagship segments our Fantasy Freestyle listeners know all about on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. That's our Game Flow Genius and our Diamonds and our Fugazis. We're going to explain those to any new listeners and tell you who we got going on for this week, all right, when we come back.
Cha-cha!
Now, if you want to crown them, then crown your ass. But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Yeah, you know what it is, Fantasy Freestyle. We back at it, Rocks and Speeds, yo. What we're going to do right now, we're going to give you a couple segments. Y'all might not know about it yet because it is week one and we got these new listeners on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. But the old school Fantasy Freestyle heads, y'all know how it goes down when we give you the Game Flow Genius and then the Diamonds and the Fugazis. Rocks, for those of them, those listeners out there who have not been familiar with the Game Flow Genius, the Game Flow Genius is right, like a team you think will be ahead or behind, that'll be running the ball a lot more or throwing the ball a lot more, and really how that affects the weapons on the outside, correct?
Yeah, man, I mean, I think I look at it basically like going a level deeper. I mean, it's not just like looking at the consensus rankings or looking at the projected points on your platform of choice. It's understanding why that might be the way that it is and then understanding what you think is going to happen in that game. So, you know, the easiest way that we explain it to people normally is that if a team is going to be trailing or down big in the second half of the game, we generally like their passing. If a team is going to be up big in the second half of the game, we generally like their rushing offense. Because it's basic football, you know, basic
strategy.
That's
that game flow.
Up when you're ahead, and you pass when you're behind.
That's game flow.
Essentially at the heart of the game flow genius.
Hello, you play to win the game.
So on that note, you got a couple geniuses?
No doubt. My first game flow genius, honestly, is Zach Miller. And this is going a little bit deeper. Yo, I've been telling everybody I really am down on the Bears. I've been telling everybody that the Texans are going to cover a 6.5-point spread at home. I even like them as a survivor pick this week early on in the season with what I think is a very bad Bears team coming. But not only will it be that thing, Rox, where you say game flow genius, they'll be down. I have more to add to how the game flow will even be going, in my opinion. For some reason, J.J. Watt is going to be playing after this surgery he had only a couple weeks ago. And I think he and the rest of that Houston Texans line will pressure Jay Cutler. I do not think Jeffrey and Kevin White in his first NFL game will be able to threaten the outside. And I think Cutler's going to dump it down a lot to someone like Zach Miller. And that's why I think Zach Miller is going to get a bunch of targets. And Cutler has shown that he likes him in the past. So that's what I'm saying. More than just the fact that they'll be throwing because they'll be down. I like him to be looking at his security blanket over the middle of the field. So Zach Miller is one of my game flow geniuses.
Yeah, a guy that I like this week, and I like him even more, who's coming out of Jacksonville, that Chris Ivory is he's having some sort of lower leg issue. He's got a little bit of that soft tissue already.
Soft tissue.
I mean, the games haven't even started. It's the same old story with this guy. But I'm really looking long and hard about TJ Yeldon. The Jaguars are playing the Packers this week. I think you're going to see the Packers offense looking more like the Packers offense of years past, and I think that they're probably going to jump out to a pretty big lead. I think Yeldon has an opportunity not just to see a little bit of rotation on the early down work. I think he's going to be the passing down back for this team. I think Shoelace is a forgotten man,
right?
And
right.
I can see him coming away from the game not just kind of having a positive performance moving forward, but as a useful flex play. And I really think there's a good chance for him to establish the hot hands that you hear the coaches talking about so much, that's so important in a situation where I think even probably late in the first half, the Jags are going to be down one and probably two scores. So I really like TJ Yeldon this week a lot more than his consensus ranking says.
No doubt, that's Rock's game flow genius. I got another game flow genius for them, Rocks, and that is Spencer Ware. If you've been listening to the Fantasy Freestyle, you know that I have been down on Jamaal Charles for weeks. For weeks I have been telling you about this, and now it all came to fruition. This is like you might hear me on Shot Callers on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I call my shot, and this is definitely one of them that I called a long time ago. And I also think Spencer Ware and the Kansas City Chiefs, they are at home this week against the San Diego Chargers, and that is a Chargers defense that was poor last year, and I don't think they're going to get much better this year. They're going to be up. They are going to not have Jamaal Charles to give the ball to, and it's not like you ever really trusted the dynamic weapons that the Chiefs really had in the first place. So I think Spencer Ware is going to be, you know, used and used often. I think he is their goal line back. I think you are going to get a ton of points out of Spencer Ware. That's one of my game flow geniuses, because the Kansas City Chiefs are going to be running the ball and running the ball and running the ball out on the second half, and that's going to be all Spencer Ware. What do you think about that, Rox?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I completely agree with you with the game, the way that game is shaking up. You know, I think that on the other side, though, you see a guy like Keenan Allen. And I think Keenan Allen is definitely poised to get a ton of looks from Phillip Rivers. I mean, honestly, he really was the difference last year in this offense when he was playing. Phillip Rivers was the man. When he was not playing, Phillip Rivers, less the man. And,
right.
You know, the chart in this game, I could easily see Casey jumping out ahead. I could see the game basically turning into Spencer Ware rushing the ball and Keenan Allen catching the ball.
Right.
He's a pretty high-ranked wide receiver, but I like him better than the norm. I also think that really it's going to be pretty interesting to see how Rivers looks to Gates, and which is the sort of thing you only say in a lost season, that one of his goals is to get Gates to pass Tony Gonzalez on the all-time touchdown list. So I would just also look to Gates whenever it's garbage time, whenever you're predicting garbage time, as a game flow genius moving forward in San Diego. I got one more. You got one more?
I got one more for you, too. You want me to go first? You can go first.
Yeah, one of the guys that, I'm looking at is I've been looking really closely at this this Raiders-Saints game as a
That's
Saints
gonna be a shootout, huh? That's gonna be a shootout, I think.
I think it's going to be a shootout, too. And I think the Raiders are going to be they're going to be the team that has to put points on the board. You know, the Saints at home, Drew Brees has been a rock star. He threw for 20 touchdowns at home last year, something crazy like that. And I think, honestly, Amari Cooper is obviously the higher upside player for the season, but he's got Delvin Throw on him, was really the only corner on the Saints' entire offense that belongs on an NFL roster. Crabtree is going to be against P.J. Williams. I see this being a matchup where basically they are – basically watching out for Amari Cooper and letting Crabtree do whatever he wants. I think the Raiders are going to be able to move the ball at ease. I think Crabtree is going to see a ton of targets, including some in the red zone. I like wide receiver too, which is about 12 spots higher than his expert consensus ranking this week. And that's mainly because he's a game flow genius, a jizza.
I like that, yo. I like that, Rox, breaking out the jizza, the genius for the game flow genius. Going zigging when others might zag. Michael Crabtree, a nice tournament play in DFS. Probably going to be lowly owned, yo. My last game flow genius, I think it goes nicely into either one of your diamonds or fugazis. My last game flow genius is Christine Michael. Let me tell you something. The Seattle Seahawks, I believe, are going to do work against Miami in their home opener. Miami making a tough trip over there across the entire country. This is actually, Rox, the longest possible flight in the NFL from one team to another. I don't know. Look it up. Miami to Seattle. The longest possible flight from one pro team to another. I don't think that bodes well for Miami and rookie head coach Adam Gase. I think it's going to take a little bit of time for that system to develop. And this is not a good defense to start it off against, Rox.
No. It's about as bad as you can hope for a defense to be
facing. Is, definitely. It is as bad as it gets. But what's going to happen because of that is they're going to be running the ball in the second half. And interestingly enough, they've been coming out saying now that Thomas Rawls is not really ready, that it's going to take a couple weeks to work Thomas Rawls in, that they're going to treat this like a preseason game for Thomas Rawls. And that just means we're talking more carries for Christine Michael. He's going to be the back that is going to grind it out. I think you can look for about 15 to 20 carries out of Christine Michael, and you can get him real cheap in DFS. He's going to be my game flow genius. Lock it up, Rox. That's my game flow genius.
Yo, Speeds, I'm going to play off that in a second. I just want to say, like, as a fantasy community and as NFL fans, can we do something better for him than see Mike?
I don't know, man. Let him do something first.
Lazy nickname.
Let him do something first, yo. He's been talked about for so long. Let him earn a nickname, and then we'll see what happens.
I like that. I like that. The tough love. Yo, playing off that, Thomas Rawls, and this is a fantasy freestyle, so we do not share information beforehand. We're just going off the top of the dome.
This is how we do a freestyle and giving you that stuff to win your league, win that cash. Rox and Speeds on the fantasy freestyle. You know how we get down.
Every single week, fam. Same time, same place.
For
yo, cheesy. Thomas Rawls, get him out of your lineup. He is not going to play 10 or so snaps. As Speed said, you do not want to be starting someone when the games count where their head coach, Pete Carroll, is treating it like it's preseason game two. People were worried that C. Mike
There's
might
that nickname
see-
again.
Going to split carries. The issue is Rawls is not healthy, and they want to make sure he can get his legs under him. They don't need to force it versus a Miami team that Speed said is making the longest trip in the NFL, and also is just kind of suspect in my mind, maybe even a little bit soft. Yeah, I said it. Against a Seattle team that is anything but soft, that's obviously looking to reassert themselves. Rawls should not be in any lineups week one, and yet I see him as the expert consensus ranked firmly as an RB2. I don't know when y'all updated that, but if you just happen to set your lineup right after the draft 3 weeks ago, make sure you go back in and correct that. You can pick up guys on the waiver wire who are more likely to get touches this week than Tommy Rawls.
No doubt. So he's fugazi for you, Rox?
He's definitely fugazi. Forget about him, but don't forget about him, because I think he'll be back later in the season when all that hype, all that shine washes off of Christine M.
No doubt. That's that fugazi. These are the diamonds and fugazis for y'all new listeners. This is how we do it. We We give you our diamond in the rough, someone you're going to have to dig deep to find. And then that Fugazi, someone who might be up high, that's too high when you look at him.
That's a Fugazi. How do you know it's a Fugazi? You looked at it for 2 seconds.
It's a fake.
Yeah, I know what a Fugazi is.
Or like Lefty from Mulberry tells you, we're going Fugazis. My Fugazi this week is LeGarrette Blount. I think the New England Patriots are going to have to try to keep up with Arizona. They're on the road in what should be a higher scoring game. That, you know, the pass catching back is really all you need to worry about in New England. I do not think LeGarrette Blount, but somehow LeGarrette Blount is still being drafted or still being used. People think he's still that goal line back. Now, especially with that second tight end involved, I think there's going to be less goal line carries and even more goal line throws. Jimmy Garoppolo is not looking to pound it. You remember the days of when, like, what was it, Jonas Gray that had a 4-touchdown game running the ball?
That was his family's highlight.
Exactly, but they did that against an Indianapolis Colts defense that they knew they could dominate. That is not the case with this Arizona
front. No Bob Sanders.
Arizona has Chandler Jones from New England come there in a revenge game. First round pick Robert Kimdichie, and of course Calais Campbell is huge. Never something Jimmy Garoppolo has never seen before. They're going to be throwing it and trying to use the scat back. Look for James White, not LeGarrette Blount. When you look deeper, you see that LeGarrette Blount is a Fugazi. Forget about him, yo. But Rox, show him. We got some diamonds in the rough, too, right? If they dig deep, they can find some diamonds. Who you got, Rox?
Yeah, man, they can find some diamonds. I mean, I know LeGarrette's are 50 cents. It's intense. But my man this week, I think you're going to see LeSean McCoy in for a big day this week against the Ravens. He's a guy who's pretty much on the RB1 cusp. He's right there, maybe top 10. But what I like the most is you had that Carlos Williams threat. And then he got cut. He was hanging out with his girlfriend while she was pregnant, eating bonbons and Malamars.
He got up to 262 pounds, yo.
Need your diet up, fam. Fix your face.
What about Reggie Bush, though? It looks like Reggie Bush might be the number two.
Reggie Bush was signed off the street. The last time I saw Reggie Bush, he was doing push-ups with Kim Kardashian naked on top of him. After that, I saw him slipping, falling, and tearing ligaments in his knee.
Suing the Edward James Dome, by the way. Suing the stadium in St. Louis, I think.
As well he should. You know, honestly, that was a straw that broke the camel's back in getting them out to L.A. But not for real. I can't believe that Reggie Bush is up to speed, and I can't believe Rex wants him to handle any sort of real workload, which leads me to believe LeSean McCoy, who's a versatile back who showed excellent shiftiness and much better burst than anyone in the second half of the year last year, is going to be in for a big day. And when LeSean McCoy has touched the ball a lot historically, he has done well with it. Buffalo is going to be trying to run the ball. The Ravens defense is going to bend and bend and bend, and then they're going to break. I think Shady's going to hit pay dirt. You're looking at about 120 to 135 total yards. He costs a little bit of money in DFS, but if you're looking for one of those mid-range RBs who could easily be a top five option, I really like him to shine bright, even in that cold, hard night.
No doubt. Yo, Ross throwing out LeSean McCoy as a diamond. I'm going to go much more diamond in the rough. I'm going to dig a little bit deeper than Ross. I like rookie wideout out of Baylor for the Cleveland Browns, Corey Coleman. Listen, Josh Gordon is not there until week 5, and they are playing a Philadelphia defense that is not that good, okay? They ranked 28th in the league against the pass last year. The front of that defense is their best part with Fletcher Cox and stuff. They are weak on the outside. Corey Coleman is going to be the number one option. Hugh Jackson is resurrecting RG3, like you've heard me say for the last couple of months, and they are going to be airing it out. This is another sneaky high-scoring game because it's not like the Browns are that you know, good on defense either. So this could be a sneaky high-scoring game, and I think Corey Coleman is going to get a lot of targets. I think he's usually a wideout four, but he should be able to crack some lineups this week as a wideout three. I think he is startable this week against a bad Philadelphia defense, and I think this is going to be a game where both teams are throwing, and RG3 is going to try and prove something. Hugh Jackson trying to set them up in positions to succeed. I like it. Corey Coleman, my diamond in the rough. That's what it is, yo. That's how we do it for you here on the Fantasy Freestyle. Rocks and Speeds giving you our diamonds in the rough and our fugazis. We're giving you our game flow geniuses. We talked to you about so many different games in week one already this week. Hopefully you are as happy as we are. I consider this like Sunday morning is almost like Christmas morning for me. I wake up and I'm excited because I get to see everything. Rocks, are you more of a like go to the bar and watch the games or watch a red zone? What do you do to watch your game? Let's give them a little bit of insight. How's Rocks going to be watching football this week one on Sunday?
I just want to also just shout out to everyone for whom it feels like the night before the first night of Hanukkah.
Sure, you know, sure.
We take that Christmas-centric view on the Fantasy Freestyle. But
Kwanzaa, Voodoo Day, whatever you celebrate.
All those days matter. Yo, you know me, Steve. You know I got my head on a swivel at the bar. You know, oftentimes, you know, I might... The weeks leading up to week one, I might visit a gentleman's club where there's a couple different stages just to get my neck rotations right to make sure I'm able to pay attention.
That's how you prepare? That's how you prepare?
You know, I mean, everybody's got their preseason regimen. You know, I might switch from my fancy pants IPAs and double stouts and start putting down some Miller Lite so I could say Miller time.
You got to build that longevity because you got to be drinking all day. You got to be drinking all day. So, you know, that's that longevity.
You're not a drinker, you don't have to be drinking all day. We're not trying to pressure you, fam. But yeah, the thing is that it is finally here.
Yes,
we're on the cusp. We're on the precipice of what we've been waiting for since Cam Newton got embarrassed by those Denver Broncos. And yo, I'm just so happy that we're ready to ring in the new football season with all our listeners on the Fantasy Freestyle, on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
No doubt. I'm real excited too, yo. We've been trying to hold them down all year, but without football, ever since Peyton Manning hugged Papa John, we've been trying to hold you down with so much other stuff. But yo, we are going to bring the heat now. It is football season. Rocks and Speeds, come back and see us next week. Well, we're going to be probably telling you about how we already are starting a new streak for 2016. I have my DFS lineup out for you. You know what it is. Rocks, Speeds, Fantasy Freestyle holding you down. Yo, week one. Yeah, baby. We're ready for some football. Let's get it.
We all undefeated, fam. Yeah.
Peace.